State Youth Games has been and gone for another year. Kingsley was well represented, and thank you, Troy. And similar to Shannon Noel, Buzz Aldrin, and One Direction, we are making a living at State Youth Games that are coming second or third. Every year, second or third. And we're like that guy in the movie that everyone knows something will happen to. Everyone really likes the person, but everyone knows something will happen to it so that the main team or the main character can survive. We're like the Chewbacca to Han Solo, the Watson to Sherlock, the Samwise to Frodo, or the Batman to Robin. But that's cool. I find Robin's puns to be far funnier than Batman's. And let's be honest, Frodo just complained the whole time about having to bear the ring, and Sam was the one who got everything done. So our theme for State Youth Games was No Superheroes Required. And what better way to illustrate how God is working in our life than through the use of comic books, superheroes, and sport. To give you a little bit of a background, the reason why we chose this theme, No Superheroes Required, was because, to put it bluntly, they're not required when we have Jesus. But it's also a great way to get the message across of Jesus to a generation of people who are always looking for something bigger and waiting for something better. You know, with all these new mobile phones, these new technological advancements, everyone's always looking for something better, something that they can always look for, something to further. People don't understand that there is nothing better than Jesus, and they're waiting for the greatest and latest faithful or spiritual ideologies to help them. And I guess our big push was to, through superheroes, through things like that, we just tried to show that that Jesus is the way, and there is nothing better. So I'll do my best to explain the different characters as I go along, and some of these pictures might jog your memory to see how we go. First page done. Wally West, the Flash, was covered by electronically charged chemicals. Bruce Banner, the Hulk, we all remember the Hulk, got absolutely dominated by gamma rays. And Peter Parker, Spider-Man, was bitten by a radioactive spider. The list of superheroes that got their powers from somewhere else can go on and on. Even Superman's powers came from somewhere else. Now, we all know that these guys are fictional, but we place them so highly because their abilities have not come from them. And I must admit, after watching The Avengers, Jamin and I decided that I would be Captain America and he would be Thor. And we thought that would be pretty cool. Now, these guys didn't deserve the powers they were given. They were just ordinary people, and in most cases, people with difficult pasts or just people from the crowd. And then there were some people like Tony Stark. Tony Stark was Iron Man. Now, he was this rich fella. He had it all. Big life, big job, big time business. And he was taken captive, and he had to build something to keep him alive, and that's how he got his superpowers. In the same way, we get our strength from God, but the difference is our strength isn't fictional. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, what does that mean? See, most of these superheroes, it was potluck, treasures of clay, potluck, that they were in the right place at the right time to get hit by huge amounts of energy or radiation. And that's why they're fictional. We were not in the right place in the right time. We were made with a purpose and a reason in mind. Do you find it fascinating, even amazing, that the gifts and powers that have been given to you did not strike you by chance? They were built into you individually by God. Now, these guys like the Silver Surfer and the Thing, they're accidental heroes. You're not. You have strengths that have been given you by God that is far greater than any radiation explosion can give you. Now, when I was doing music studies, I had to make a video clip for music to a superhero comic, and my favourite thing about it was Clark Kent. I love how he just takes off his glasses and suddenly no one knows who he is. It's like, whoa, who's that guy? And I love the really lame, yeah, just the lame cover stories and the secret identities of superheroes. And while Clark Kent and I have a whole lot of things in common, where we differ is right here. See, Clark needs to hide what he has. He needs to be a different person when he uses his abilities. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now, what does that mean? What is the big deal about the death of Jesus and that we should carry it in our body? It's simple. Through Jesus' death, we are saved. Sin is all in all of us because we're not perfect, and we all sin and all fall short of the glory of God. We know that. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. It also gives us a comma and continues by saying that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we die to our own sin, we start to live this new life, one that is made possible through Jesus' death on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is there. Paul is saying that the way that we should show the reality of what happened inside us is when we accept Jesus. Now I don't want to hide this from people. I don't want to kind of rock up to church on Sunday or to my Bible study and have to put on this costume and a cape so people recognize me as a Christian. I want people to see that Jesus is my greatest strength and my greatest power, and I want that to be seen all the time. Now, I'm not being totally fair to all these superheroes. They had their identities hidden for a reason. And a cool superhero who, along with his movie franchise, got worse and worse as they made more, was once told, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, Luke 12:48 reads, but the one who does not know and does things deserves punishment, will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. For one who has been given much, much more will be demanded, and the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Sounds pretty similar to me, but what does that mean for us? And this was Jesus' greatest call. This was Jesus' call to us. The greatest knowledge of salvation comes from the responsibility to share it with the people we meet. How are you doing that? What does that look like in your day-to-day life? And that's something to think about. There's response cards that you can fill out, and if you want to speak to anyone, that's something that the elders or Mike or Chris or myself, we can all do, and that's just something to think about as we go forward. And I think that is a good time for a drinks break. Now, I'm a DC comic man myself, so using Marvel characters in this thing is killing me because they're not very good. But the Avengers can illustrate this point far better than the Justice League can, because the Avengers were recently in a movie. And for those of you who don't know what the Avengers was about, basically, it was the best of the best superheroes from Marvel got together, and they were made to fight a bad guy and his army. And I think we all know what happens when you put a team of champions together. Everyone wants to be the leader. Everyone wants to be in charge. Everyone wants to be the superhero. Now, Nick Fury, who is the guy who got this team together, true to his name, cut loose and let them know that they have a bigger job and to get over themselves. So each hero was there for themselves. They wanted to be the biggest and the best. Is that not sometimes like our lives at church, at home, at school or at work? We want to be the biggest and the best, and we want to be seen as the hero of a situation and be the big guy. But how does that show Jesus in us? Paul has challenged the Corinthians by telling them that all surpassing power is from God and not from them. He also challenges them to live a life that reflects Jesus and everything that he does. Does that mean he's finished? No. Paul goes on to say, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Now, for those of you who were at State Youth Games, who were watching the basketball, the netball, or the soccer, how quick were you to find that person who was not being very Christian, who was trying to be that leader, who was trying to take control? And that goes, maybe you can think of a time in your day-to-day life, at school, at work, or it might be in the media. How quick are we to spot out that person waiting for them to see that they're not being very Christian? I don't know if we can help that. I think that's just something we do. I know it's something I do. You try and look for that person straight away. The one who is arguing back, the one who is being a bit of a rebel, the one who is there for themselves. Paul says, no, don't be doing that. Why argue? Why try and be bigger and best? Why make it all about you? Now, I don't know if this one is as easy to see, but how often do we sit back and look at the person who is humbly serving, who is just getting the job done, who is putting the team before themselves, who is really striving to show Jesus? Ultimately, it's not about you, and it's not about being you the one to save the day or for you to look the best. It's about Jesus. And if you are too busy trying to look like the one who is doing everything, where is Jesus in all of that? So that's what Paul is saying when he talks to the Corinthians. So what does dying for Jesus look like anyway? Does it mean taking down maybe that photo on Facebook that's a bit dodgy but it has 100 Facebook likes? Probably not for a lot of you. I don't think that's going to be the thing. For most of you, it probably means humbling yourselves to someone who might have the same gifts as you and serving them instead of trying to be the one to take control of the situation. Or maybe this is one that is probably the hardest for all of us. Maybe it just means apologising for something that you did, accepting that you were wrong and humbling yourself to someone else, even if it happened a long time ago. See, if we work together and each strive to show Christ in our friendship groups, our workplace, our ministry teams, volunteers, the outcome will be far more fruitful than if we try and show how good we are at stuff. Philippians 2:3 reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." Does that not sum it up beautifully? If we are valuing others above ourselves, we are dying to those worldly issues all the time. I hope that resonates with you in terms of understanding what it means to follow Jesus and reflect Jesus. It doesn't only mean doing things you perhaps don't like. Every now and then, it doesn't mean doing things that you might not be the best at. It also means doing those things to the best of your ability and doing them all the time. That's when people show Jesus in their life, not when they put on their costume and their cape and they pretend that everything in life is good and okay. I'm actually doing far better this time with drink, so the church will be happy that I'm not spending all their money on water. Now, this is one thing that superheroes had to do. The ones from DC anyway. Iron Man and Captain America, they were pretty happy to be acknowledged for their efforts. They weren't hiding behind a mask or a cape. But Superman, for example, could never show his true identity. For him, it was always about helping and saving, making the streets safe from crime, etc., etc. But what does that look like for us? I don't think any of us can stand in front of a train and stop it. I don't think any of us can fly and save someone from a falling building. Our job is simple, and on earth it is to save people, but not from the earthly things. We have the opportunity to bring salvation to anyone, whether it be a friend down the road, a competitor at State Youth Games, somewhere in Australia, or anywhere around the world. Now, if you spoke to someone on a bus, had a chat to your friend, or just showed Jesus in everything you did, you have sown a seed that can give life in the kingdom for eternity and not just save someone from life on earth. Now, I don't want to for a second put down the importance of mission and helping people live on earth. I don't want to for a second make it sound like I don't think that is important, because that is important. But if all we're doing is helping people live on this earth and not giving them a chance at eternity, at the next life, What is the point of helping them at all, really, if we're not prepared to give them the good news of Jesus? Paul wrote to, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believed and therefore spoke. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself." For those of you who believe in Jesus, I hope that you go away feeling empowered to speak about his truths and his love and his wisdom. I hope that you realise that we and you are no different to Apostle Paul. You have the same gospel and the same spirit to help you share. As he wrote in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." Now, you have the power, we all know we have the power, but it's not from us. There are no superheroes required in God's mission to save the world. Just people who believe in Jesus, live out the life of Jesus, and speak the truth of Jesus. God will save people as we do that. Now, if you haven't yet made a choice to believe in Jesus and accept him, this is a chance for you to do it. Myself or one of the elders, like I said, Mike, we'll hang around the front here and be able to have a chat. Otherwise, we have the response cards. Maybe, do we have response cards? At the back. There's response cards at the back. And you have a chance to fill those out if you'd like to maybe just write instead of coming up and talking. Now, God offers you new life. He offers you life within you. He offers you eternal life, where death is not the end, but the beginning of a grand new adventure. It sounds too good to be true, but we know it's possible because Jesus has done it. He rose from the grave, and he ascended to heaven in front of a great number of witnesses. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us all of the powers that we need, and I thank you that you individually crafted us, and you know everything about us individually. I pray as we go out to this week that we may consciously show you in everything we do, that we may be your light, and that we may strive to show you. So in your precious name we pray. Amen.